Okay, with that, then I'll open the meeting for planning commission for Monday, December 12th. Order, could you step in, please, call the roll?
Yes. Chairman Christensen.
Present.
Commissioner Bolt.
Here.
Commissioner Dirksen.
Here.
Commissioner Fisher.
Here.
Commissioner Jensen. Commissioner Stanger.
Here.
Commissioner Tuttle.
Here.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephanie. At this time, we usually have comments from citizens. We don't have any citizens tonight, unless the mayor would like to make a comment.
He's not a citizen.
Yeah. Well, we upgraded him to citizen.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Yeah, well, somebody had to do that. Would you like to make a comment, sir?
I think I'm down under new business.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right, you're welcome. Next item.
There he is.
Please note that Commissioner Jensen.
Sorry, there's no chairs.
Yeah, right. Just said 7:01. You started early.
All right, started right on time. Approval of minutes for November 28th, 2016. Commissioners.
I move that we approve the minutes for November 28th, 2016, as submitted.
Motion made by Commissioner Tuttle to approve the minutes as presented.
Like to second that?
Seconded by Commissioner Bolt. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
I did not vote. I was not present.
Okay. Carried 6-0. Thank you. In step, I'll sign, if you have a copy for me to sign.
Thank you, yeah, I do.
Next item on the agenda tonight is new business with Mayor Thomas. General discussion. You have the time, sir.
Okay, thank you. You know, at my first council meeting, the police chief wanted to come up and say something. I said, you've got the con. The only person in the room that got it was Chris Hendrickson. So I appreciate you telling me that I have the comment. First, I appreciate all the work that you do. You've done a lot of work this year. You did an enormous amount of work the year before, and you've got a very substantial amount of work you'll be doing this coming year. I don't always get to make it here to the Planning Commission, and so I thought I'd go ahead and make myself available, just come and talk with you a little bit about some of the things that the city's doing right now, and just be present so that if you've got any questions, concerns, or good jokes, that you can let me know. As you know, the council adopted the comprehensive plan in December of last year. To actually implement the comprehensive plan means there need to be development regulations in place. And so the budget that the council is looking at right now includes just over $100,000 in one-time money that is available for us to hire a consultant to help out with putting together development regulations for next year. So very much like when you went through the comprehensive plan about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I anticipate that this year will be very busy this time. Going from the vision-oriented statements that you have right now to the nuts and bolts, you know, does good quality residential development, is that a 10-foot side yard setback or a 9-foot side yard setback? So I anticipate that you'll have a lot of discussion, a lot of deliberation, and both staff and also the council really value the time that you all put into reviewing the laws and the policies that come forward to me and to the council for consideration. Do you have any questions about the planning component for planning commission, just with that?
The only question I had is on the consultant, and how much, you know, help we had with the consultant when we did the comp plan this last year.
Right.
The planning commission put a whole lot of work in to clean that up. So my concern is are we going to go down that same path? And my prayer is that we don't go down that same path. So we come back with a good results from this consultant and get our money's worth.
Right. Right, I don't want to experience the drop the microphone again. That was really unusual when we were at that joint meeting with all three bodies plus me. And he got up and made a presentation and dropped the microphone. And I was like, what are we supposed to do now? Yeah, I anticipate that Dave, who was not here when that process got started, will be working with staff, his staff, to make certain that they work with you all about what it is you're looking for in development regulations. Do you want to keep it I think planners call it, is it plain talk or something like that, where you try to avoid jargon and
stuff
like that?
That's what everybody calls it.
Yeah.
Layman's
term. I have to ask the planners what the new technical jargon term is for more technical jargon terms. But I know that when I was working as a planner about 15, 20 years ago, that I think we were calling it plain talk or something like that, taking, you know, complicated terms like determination of non-significance and saying, I'm going to be really stupid with this, but changing it to, it ain't going to affect the environment, you know, that kind of stuff. Or it's not bad for nature. Not bad for nature. I would hope that the code that comes forward from the consultant, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. They certainly should bring something forward that you all can then help us make our communities. It would be my hope that staff would work with you to understand what sort of things you're looking for so that we can make certain that when it comes forward, it's farther along than the last one. I'm concerned about that, too.
Yeah, see, the thing is if it's not readable and it doesn't make sense, right, then it's not efficient, you know, to go through that process and then people not understanding what's going on one side and on the other side. And you need to make things as efficient as possible, get things done as cheaply as possible, for our taxpayers in this city to get their money's worth.
So maybe that's one of the things that they can do is they do a request for proposals or an RFP sometimes.
Right.
So basically they say, yo, we've got this work. Anybody want to put in for it? And maybe one of the things we could put in there is and ask for a writing sample of what different consulting firms have done before.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. Something that they've done in the past, you know, that we could take a look at and say, yeah, again, we got flowers and all this stuff, but it's not usable.
Right.
Not understandable.
Right.
Commissioner Powell.
Thank you. It would be helpful if once that consultant is hired, maybe we have a meeting that includes council and planning commission, because there were quite a few times during the comp plan process where there were some directions that we needed to decide on which way to go, and it really is a council decision and not a planning commission decision, and we spent a lot of extra time trying to come up with three different scenarios where it would have been easier just to have the council say, we're kind of thinking this, can you move it along that way? So it might be nice to have some sort of a joint meeting and everybody start off on the same page.
Right, so there are a couple ways we can work that. One is that I can, you know, staff, you all can work with staff, kind of give staff some thoughts and directions, and then I can work with staff to winnow that down, and then one of the concerns, so it's great bringing everybody together.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make that clear. Mm-hmm. One of the challenges to bringing everybody together is everybody, maybe we jump around from topic to topic. So what I would want to do is just go ahead and put together an agenda that's very pointed,
mm-hmm.
So that we can keep folks on task.
Right.
And there may be some things that we might even get a subcommittee from the council, like the P4 committee. And so those three council members, maybe they could come into planning commission. And then at least like that, you've got a portion of the council, rather than having 7 plus 7, 14 plus the mayor.
Especially
plus
on certain meeting nights.
Yeah.
It would be tremendously useful, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's truly attended. We've had, in the past, we've had meetings with, you know,
he's talking about joining.
And
you're talking about a different kind of meeting.
They didn't show up. So,
yeah.
But
if it's a subcommittee, then they would, because they would be.
I would hope so. I'm skeptical, so.
Chair, the other thing you can do is that if you've got a proposal or something, you can work through staff, through me, and then I can bring it up at council and say, hey,
okay, the
planning commission's looking for some direction on these things. Do you like, you know, pink flowers or yellow flowers?
But we lose almost 3 weeks when we need to do it that way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I don't know that we're under the same time schedule. We want to get everything done.
Right.
But it's not like with the comp plan.
That we had a date.
Where we had a state mandated date. So there, we'll, I'll certainly work with the staff and see what we can do to make certain we keep things moving. Yeah. I agree with you. We want to keep things moving.
That was my only.
Thank you. Commissioner Bull.
So once the consultant is hired, how are these contracts structured, if you will? Like a lot of times when we hire consultants, we won't pay them until we get the first draft of their work, and then the first draft has been reviewed and approved. So it incents them to work quickly, and then you get a product that everyone likes. And if it's bad or just outright terrible, you can just cut your losses and move on to the next one using the basics of what you've already put together to feed into the next consultant. Because I think what I heard from some of the planning commissioners was that you got toward the very end of the process last time, they got a result that wasn't adequate, and then they wasted all this time, and they don't have any other time to make up. I mean, that's a valuable commodity is your time. And so if you get to the end of the 6 months or whatever that you planned for this event, and then you get a product that you're not happy with, and then you're out all the money.
Yeah, I would say that there are a couple different ways that staff can structure that. One is by completing phases. Another one is T&M, time and materials. And so I would go ahead and defer to staff on that. What I would expect the process would be, so that you're not just talking with vague concepts, is that they would probably come up with an outline or a draft and come in and meet with you after meeting with staff, probably come in and meet with you and go over that outline or draft and see what your thoughts are. And kind of like going to the eye doctor, number one, number two, number one. So it'd probably be something like that where they look the same. I don't know. So I would expect this to be an iterative process where they're coming in, and if something's going haywire, that the planning commission will be able to give that feedback to the staff sooner than later, and the staff would come and talk with me to see about following up.
Okay.
Okay, just to add to that a little bit, if we're starting to see the wheels come off,
yeah,
as we go through the process, we need to have some kind of an action plan to move forward. Do we stick with who we're working with now, as far as a consultant or whatever, or do we switch tracks and go on a different road?
I think Shana and Dave will both be working very closely with the consulting firm to make certain that they stay on track, and if it's not working, I would expect that we'll have a hard conversation and potentially cancel the contract. For both of you, what Dave, what they're referring to is that the prior consulting firm, they even got an award at the APA conference for public participation. And I think the public participation is about what they did. The actual meet that came forward was not something that we were looking for here at the city. And so that's, again, we have completely different players in the room from a staff perspective than we did with that. Dave, do you have anything? I don't mean to.
No, well, one thing is, I'm not going to be offended if anyone gets up and starts grabbing some pizza.
He doesn't want it to get cold.
It's not a key thing, but one difference between a comp plan and a zoning code, and there's a lot of discretion in the zoning code, obviously, but the comp plan was almost wide open. I mean, it was like policies and pictures and a variety of different things, and you've seen the codes that have come through in terms of ordinances that have gone to council. I mean, ultimately, in terms of formatting, it'll get done by the city clerk and a company that formats all different codes for different cities. So I think you have to spend a little less time on actually this time what it looks like and a lot more time on what it says.
We spend a lot of time on what it said.
You will spend a lot of time on what it said, but I can almost see the consultant coming in first and doing this in steps by saying, okay, this is what the comp plan says, and here are kind of the bullet items that we need to get at to really get at the change that the comp plan is talking about. And then I see that bullet items coming into more of an outline, And then as part of that outline, I see them maybe giving you like one or two examples of a new zoning district that really implements things. So before they really dive into it and say, here it is, you're going to see.
So you're optimistic because of where you, other things that you've seen, but we've gone through a sign code with a consultant, a comp plan with a consultant, and then a downtown consultant. And optimism is what I like, but it seems to.
Just recognize we have completely different staff than we had before, I think.
I don't think it's about the staff staying on top of deadlines. I think it's about the consultant. Yeah, like the sign code, it was a really great idea. We loved the plan of action, and it was, let's take all this text and put it into tables and all of that. But at the end of the day, we didn't, there's still a lot of inconsistencies and that it needs a lot more work, but their job was done, and we don't have a very usable sign code at the moment.
So if you get a chance to upgrade that one too.
Yep, I hope we do. You always feel the oxygen leave the room when you bring it up, but I would like to have a sign code that is usable. So I have total confidence in your part of, and you're part of it, but not necessarily in the consultants now. For this will be the fourth go around with a consultant.
Well, maybe we do a lot of baby steps up front before we really dive into it, and then we'll dive into it at the back end.
I think it would also, I'm sorry.
No.
I think it would also help if they understand up front, you know, what we are really looking for is making sure that when you write a document, you're writing it not for yourself, you're writing it for the person who's going to read it. And if it's not readable and understandable, then you're just wasting a lot of time and money, and I think that's a shame. That's not the way we want to work it. So
do we have any consultants in mind right now?
No, what we'll do is we'll issue an RFP and a request for proposals, and they will probably just follow up with a couple of consultants who knows to make certain that they're definitely aware that it's out. We'll probably do the RFP in that mid to late January timeframe, after the budget gets approved, hopefully tomorrow for next year.
That's fast.
Would it be possible for the RFP to almost like paint a picture of what we've been through and say we don't want this? Or maybe, you know, say you require the consultant, now look, we did these and we got A and we really want a B, we got A and we want a B in all these cases, and make sure that the consultant understands when they're subscribing to this RFP that they're really understanding what it is we're asking for, not just the, this is what we want this time, but we want you to be sure you've looked at what worked or failed previously so we don't repeat that.
Sure. One thing that I could talk with staff about is the possibility of having a planning commissioner on the interview panel for the consulting firms after we make the first cut. Like, we have two or three consulting firms that we're thinking about hiring, and like that, some of these concerns can be, you know, shared with them, or questions can be posed to make certain that they understand that we have had these issues before. Like, what would you do to make certain that we don't get surprised 9 months later, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if it's necessary to have a planning commissioner on here. Our planning group that we have now, I have a lot of faith in. I haven't seen anything, or, you know, I think they're a great group. I think they're a good group. I'm just throwing out my concerns.
Yeah.
Whenever I hear the consultant word used, you know, then, you know, my alarms go on and say, you know, we've been burnt so many times, you know, we have to be real careful when we go through this, because it is a big responsibility. And I don't want to be doing it again, like the cycle. I don't want to do it again and again and again.
Right.
I have a finite amount of years left, so I want to make sure that I use them to the best of my ability.
He's always blaming it on that.
Yeah. So that's my concern. So I don't know if it needs to have a planning commission on it. That's a decision that you like to make, then that's your decision. I think we can.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We can crush our shell.
Okay. All right, sounds good. So we'll at least make certain we ask a question of the consultants as part of the RFP interview process. Just what would you do in the event, or have you ever had problems with this?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so that's one big thing I think you'll be talking a little bit about in the work plan. I don't know if you all get a copy of Monroe this week, but I have a newsletter that I've been putting out every Friday. It goes up on the Mayor Jeffrey Thomas page, and then also up on the City of Monroe page. But every week I've been putting out a newsletter that updates everybody on what's going on here in town. One of the things that you'll see in there, once a month we do the update on the year-to-date of revenues. And the reason why this is really important to you all from a Planning Commission standpoint is you'll see that our sales tax is substantially higher than last year. You'll see that our property tax is higher than last year. But the big things you're going to see in there are real estate excise tax is substantially higher than last year. The REIT is called real estate excise tax. REIT is what we use to do capital improvements like roads and sidewalks and parks and things like that. That is a tax on the sale of property. So every time property sells, so I get myself 5 acres, I go ahead and I do a subdivision, I then sell that to a developer, there's a tax there, and then the developer takes the 50 lots or the 100 lots and sells it to individual people. There's another tax that occurs there with every transaction of property. That's up substantially from prior years, and that's a reflection of how healthy the real estate market is here right now. Our building permit revenues and our building inspections are also up substantially. Right now we have about 850 homes in the pipeline, somewhere from
800.
Yeah, from pre-application all the way to
building.
Wow.
Have been final platted over the last maybe 18 months.
Yeah.
Remember it was 2 in like 2009.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, so and one of the things about our community is that the average household size here is 2.9, and so it's almost 3 people per household, and for the county it's 2.5, for the state it's 2.7. So if we just go ahead and whack 50 of those off of there, call it 800 homes times 3, we'll round that up just a little bit because of easy math, that's about 2,400 new people that are statistically expected to come to town probably over the next 5 years or so. And from last year to this year, we saw an increase of our population by 500 people. 500 even, I'm not even rounding up there or down. We have 500 even people estimated to come to town from 2015 to 2016. So we've got a substantial amount of growth going on right now. We're now sitting at just over 18,300 people. With that population, we could be topping the 20,000 mark probably within about 5 years or so. So with that, we are, we're really pushing to get 522 widened. You've probably heard a little bit about that. The bridge marks the change from the 39th legislative district to the first legislative district. It's kind of like going into New Jersey, I think. I've thought to myself, this is not a partisan thing, it's kind of like the Chris Christie Bridge, you're leaving the 39th, you're going into the first, and you're going from 4 lanes down to 2 lanes before you go back to 4 lanes again, and it's frustrating. So Guy Palumbo was just elected as the senator in the first, and he ran on the whole thing about widening 522. And it is the portion of 522 that needs to be widened is in the first legislative district. So we need to have the two representatives and the senator from that district really advocating for improvements in their district. And part of the hard thing about this is that Woodinville is anti-growth. I mean, it's not even not friendly to growth. It's just plain out and out hostile anti-growth. And from Woodinville westward is leaving the first legislative district. So you have a heavily blue area, partisan speaking. They're very much into their mass transit, their bicycles and things like that, and they really don't want to spend money on roads, you know, leaving the legislative district. So the cool thing is that Palumbo cares about it, and he ran on making improvements, so that's a plus. And then County Councilmember Sam Lowe was just elected, and he also was running on the need to make improvements to 522. The other guy, I think, was interested in the mass transit and limiting gravel trucks and stuff like that, you know, the operation of gravel trucks. And the reality is that we're an honest-to-goodness city here. We're growing in size, and we have 35% of the people that live here that commute out of the area use 522 every day, and we need to make certain that the road works both ways. And in the school district also, we can't have our kids stuck in traffic trying to get to school. The other cool thing with Sam Lowe is that his legislative aide is Darcy Chessman, who is a Monroe School District board member. So she understands how the impacts are, the impacts from 522 are affecting the kids getting to and from school and things like that. So that's one thing that we're really hitting that is related to transportation and growth right now. We're also working on some other transportation improvements around town. If you remember back during the summertime, the council voted on doing a making an improvement at Blueberry and North Kelsey where they were going to put a pork chop. I was calling it the Blueberry Pork Chop. And what it would have resulted in is people only being able to turn left. I'm sorry, it would have prohibited left turns. Thank you.
Yeah, no left.
Would have made it so that people could only turn right, leaving Blueberry, and it would have prohibited left turns from North Kelsey northbound onto Blueberry. So I'm happy that the council changed their position, and we're now going through a public process. We had a presentation of the council on Tuesday last week. We're going to have a community open house on January 12th, my wife's birthday. We will be holding a community open house where you can come in and take a look at the four alternatives that that staff has brought forward as sort of a next starting point for discussion there. Perhaps one of the better options right now is about $450,000. The stoplight, which would be probably the platinum plated option, is about $1.2 million and would require that we work with the railroad, which is a difficult thing to work with. So the nice thing is that option E, alternative E, and you can, again, you can see it on in Monroe this week, alternative E would allow us to still put in a stoplight in the future. So you could do a phased improvement there, one that would probably be good for the 5 to 10 year range, and then we'd probably need to put in a stoplight.
Another one. Was there an alternative that's about $500?
Yeah, actually, there was
a stop sign approach.
Yeah, the alternative that was $500 was no left turn signs. Not blinking lights.
No left turn. Just to say traffic doesn't stop.
Yeah.
The stop sign.
Oh, there was one that had no left turns.
Oh, okay.
And then the pork chop was about a $12,000 fix, and that's just a raised curb that makes it so that you, obviously, if you've got a big truck or you've got clearance, you could go over it, but that would be illegal. But so is driving northbound and southbound. So I don't know.
Does the city own the snowplow?
Yeah, we've got a couple of blades out there. Yeah.
My wife and I were going there Saturday morning on Blueberry, and because the train was there, we'll go down over to Lewis. Mm-hmm. Just as we turned right, some snowplow three blocks down behind all the traffic just had decided he was going to turn over into the left lane. He'd just gotten into the left lane as we turned there. We saw him backing up and trying to get out. It was like, what made him think he had the right to come up the left lane?
Because he has
that's city staff.
I would hope that's not a city. So that's Blueberry and North Kelsey. Another transportation one that we're working on right now is 191st. If you recall, 191st used to follow the path that is now north of Walmart. You can still walk there. The asphalt from the prior road is still there. We are going to be doing the same process that we're doing with Blueberry, also with 191st. There are three options. They range from about $1.5 million to about $3.5 million to make a second point of ingress and egress out of that Rainier View and 191st intersection. So
they want that up there, don't they?
Yes.
Seems like it's been going on for a long time.
Yep. So that's something else that we will be taking through a public process. Now, in terms of affording these projects, and we've got a couple of projects we're working on too, but in terms of affording these projects, we're going to need to go after grants. We're going to need to look for using things like REIT. Remember how I told you that REIT is up really high right now? We've got an extra $250,000 in that could help out with one of these projects. We also, the budget that I brought forward to council had the contingency fully funded. That's just under $1 million on top of our emergency reserves, and that had been reduced down to about $300,000 or so this current year. So we do have some money there that we could match for some of these road improvements, and rather than just put forward projects in the budget for 2017, I felt that it was important to have a conversation with the community and a conversation with council to prioritize and then look at opportunities for matching funds to the grants at the state and federal level also. So those are some of the transportation things we're working on. And then if you follow social media and whatnot, we have had issues with drugs, with homelessness, with people sleeping on the streets in downtown. We did an action swap on a home on Lewis Street about 4 weeks ago. So we're managing the issues right now of drugs, of homelessness, and so on and so forth here in town. And we're not just looking at the enforcement component, but we're also looking at the component of people who want help, who want to get them help. And so in the budget for this coming year is about $50,000 to $60,000 for us to contract with an entity like the county for a social worker that, if you want help, will get you help. And so between enforcement and helping people, we're hoping to reduce that population of people that are living on private and publicly owned property around town. And then as far as the houses where we have issues with lots of chronic phone calls complaining about nuisances and the potential for drugs and things like that, I requested that the police department come up with a better tool in the toolbox, and last week the council passed its first reading a chronic nuisance ordinance. It's modeled on something they have at the city of Everett. I would hope that it would be approved by tomorrow, which I think it will be. What that does is it allows our police department that if we have a lot of phone calls, and we're talking 20, 30, 40 phone calls complaining about a house, about nuisances, that we're able to go in and abate that nuisance. So it's I'll hear complaints about people saying, like in your situation on Lowe Street, I make phone calls down there, once a week, and I know my neighbors do too. Well, this is an ordinance that they have in Everett that allows us to take a look at the totality of what's going on, the resources that we're spending as taxpayers on these sorts of chronic nuisances, and then actually go to enforcement action where we can abate those nuisances. So that's going to council tomorrow. And then, so that's that. And then you will have seen a lot of things we've been doing in the downtown. Also over at Lake Tai, the skateboard park has gone in. We are really blessed in this community to have a lot of different nonprofits that have been working together with us on things like the Veterans Memorial that the American Legion completed out at Lake Tai. Talking about Lake Tai, we had a stage that was put into the budget. It was about $250,000. I'm working at the county all week. So about $250,000 to put a stage on that would be west facing on the restroom at Lake Tai Park. And after going through two summers of going to concerts there, I was noticing that the musicians were there staring at the sun as it was setting. Mm. And that just wasn't optimum. So a planner from a city to the south of us, wonder who that was, my wife let me know that the city of Duval had this mobile stage. And it's a 30 or 40 year old mobile stage that came from Seattle. and that they were looking at getting a new stage where it's like Transformers. You push the button and in this metal box, it looks like a container, you know, if it's on wheels, it gets tracked around. It just opens up like this, and all of a sudden there's a stage, and you can plug in sound and all this other stuff. So I went down to look at what they had in Duval with our parks director, Mike Farrell, and then we brought the idea to the parks advisory board, and they liked the idea. The council then liked the idea too, and we are spending about $125,000 or so on a mobile stage. Now, what that means is we'll be able to set it up anywhere at Lake Tye, so you can face south, you can face north, you don't have to watch the setting sun and get sunburned while you're playing music. But it also means that we're going to be able to do things like light up Monroe, bring it to the downtown, and set it up. We'll be able to use it for the Easter egg hunt, and we may be able to work in a local agreement with the school district so that they can use it for different events and things like that. So, and all in all, still saving money to the taxpayers. We're also doing a master plan for Lake Tye. As you're aware, the wakeboard park didn't go through, and so the council still would like to study what else can we do at Lake Tye. So the master planning process on that will be beginning next year. We're also doing about $100,000 improvement to the playground there at Lake Tye next year, and then we're planning on doing the Sky River Park in 2018. So you'll see those get improved. And then back to the downtown, you'll see when you're walking around the downtown that there is a pedestal now at the corner of Lewis and Main with an orange cone on it. We'll have a piece of artwork going in the downtown. That cost us $10,000, but it will be about 10 feet tall. It'll look like the smokestack at Frank Wagner, and it'll have little steel swifts that are going down into the chimney. So that's
we got the picture, didn't we? When we first, I think we all saw it.
Yeah. And then on a policy level, you all are probably aware the term limits did not end up going through. That went to council last week, and there was to five of the council members because two were gone, and it ended up failing 1-5, so that did not get moved on to second reading. So. I think that's sort of what's been going on in two thumbnails. Chair, anybody have any questions, comments, good jokes?
I have a question.
Quit asking for jokes.
I have a question on, you said if people are willing to take you up on getting help downtown, you know?
Yeah, like people that are homeless.
Or whatever. What if they don't take you up on getting help?
We're working on that. We're working on
that. Okay, I just was curious. What is the next step after that?
Yeah, so what we have there is we've worked with the downtown businesses, and about 85% of the downtown businesses in a block north and south have agreed that if we see somebody sleeping in their doorways, that we have the ability to trespass them. And we have a program we need to work on to go beyond that.
Okay. All right. This is curious. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that a committee?
No.
It's just somebody talked to downtown business owners?
Oh, yeah. So what I did was I directed staff to, I directed PD to go through the downtown, and just like they're doing up at Safeway, Ben Franklin, see if the downtown businesses wanted to sign one of these proactive, if you see somebody sleeping in my doorstep at 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning, I'm waiving the need for me to call 911. You just drive through, and if you see them there, you can let them know they need to move on, that trespassing is prohibited in my doorway.
Is that just Safeway and Ben Franklin and Fred Meyer, Walmart?
No, the one in the downtown is based on the same thing they're trying to do at Ben Franklin and at Safeway.
Is it working?
I don't know. In the downtown, I hope it is.
Up there.
I don't know what the status is up there. I know that we have
I would like to get in on that. Okay. I have a known location where there's a lot.
So you have to own the property to do that?
Okay, I could get Fred.
Okay.
But I think that what I was thinking is there's quite a few, there's probably five places around town that are known locations, that not just downtown, but it would be great if those people knew that that's something that you can sign and have taken care of, because I didn't know.
So if we take, for example, out at Ben Franklin and Safeway and McDonald's. So you know, Ben Franklin might have signed on to it, but and Safeway might have, but maybe not, you know, McDonald's. So it's one of those things that it's on a case-by-case basis. And I heard that Mr. Taylor was working on trying to get something signed.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the status is. I've been able to monitor the downtown stuff more closely.
So it's not in effect yet, it's being worked on.
Up there, yes, but down here, downtown, we've got about 80% roughly participating in that.
Oh, that's good.
Is it something that must be signed onto, or is there something that could be done by ordinance?
No, they have to sign onto it. Okay. Yeah, there are some things that get a little bit more complicated.
Commissioner Bolton, you had a question?
I just had a question about the police department. Is there a statistician that keeps track of these people in there? Are they Sky Valley people, or are they transient, or? I mean, where should they be? Are they just came under, their Monroe people, they just got into drugs and they just have nowhere to?
All of the above.
Commissioner Tuttle pretty much does it. It's all of the above. You've got people that we're just passing through, and this is where they stopped. We've got people that have familial or friend relationships.
A lot of the kids actually have families here, but they choose not to live at home.
Because camping's funner?
Yes.
What is it, term
or they don't have
from
good...
From couch to couch, what do they call that?
That's couch surfing.
Yeah.
Or they don't have a good family situation.
And so, and to be clear, you know, I work in Everett during the day. I see a lot more people in Everett, and I have a son. One of my sons is going to UW Seattle, and I don't know when the last time all of you were in UW, you know, in Seattle, but driving down I-5, you see a lot of tents and things like that. It's a regional. This is a regional issue, and we had two people come and speak to us about a year and a half ago, speak to the council and. One of the people that got up to speak, you were there, said, I want to just live free. And, you know, there's not most people that are homeless, I don't think that's why they're.
Here in Monroe, that is kind of common though. If you actually talk to the homeless people when you, I am shocked at how many people say, this is how I want to live. It's freezing. There's two kids that I regularly take to grocery outlet or, you know, take to get their laundry done. And the girl, her family lives in the Freelance. She just does not want to be there.
So that's one of the issues that we're working on here. And to be clear, the people that are homeless, it's not just drugs. You know, it's not just, you have, just like here, you've got a cross cut of society, just different people living like they are for different reasons. And that's why it's important for us to get, you know, social workers out there or volunteers out there like the Hand Up Project, working side by side with our officers so that you've got the enforcement action, you know, trespass, that kind of stuff. And you've also got the, hey, you know, you're addicted to drugs, or hey, you had this this horrible life experience at home or whatever, we want to help you. You know, you're a disabled vet, you're this, you're that, we want to help you. And so we want to help the people that are willing to accept help, and folks that aren't, we just need to figure out how that goes. And just
they
let you know.
They can't vandalize the parks and the businesses and stuff just because they want to live like that.
Has anybody gone to the churches and asked if they...
We have a lot of...
There's a lot of...
We have a lot of help here in town.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people that are so involved.
The churches could get involved, and they could help too.
Yep. Well, we have the cold weather shelter.
Take the next step.
That's
a...
Beck's Place, and then
that's
what I was saying.
The treasure chest over at Cascade.
And then, like, Thrive is doing this big thing on Sunday. But I think what's really cool about that is the business owners in the community kind of take matters into their own hands and put events, put something together to help. I know I haven't had any broken windows or vandalism or anything, but I'm nice to those people for the most part.
Yeah, and
you try to help them out every now and again when you can, and They're usually respectful. There's only one that I have issues with, but.
There are a couple things that we've been working on there. When we do, and again, this isn't a homelessness issue, but when we do have graffiti and stuff like that, we're trying to get people to understand that if you let the graffiti stay up, if you let the tagging stay up, that it is getting exactly why the person tagged somebody's property to begin with, notoriety. You know, when you put stuff on Facebook, look at this horrible tag, you're getting the notoriety. You know, that person's
getting
the notoriety.
You have to go paint it right away.
Yep, you gotta, like, we're trying to tell people this. Take a picture, send it into the PD, paint it over.
Who paints it? If it's on private property, it's your responsibility.
Yep.
If it's somewhere out, like if it's at a park or something, who takes care of that?
Yeah.
The city does? The
city
parks
does.
Department?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if it's on the bridge, like the Lewis Street Bridge, then it's DOT.
Oh. If you, okay. I know you just did that, but if you see that, do you take that picture to City Hall or
yeah,
do you call DOT?
No, take a picture, send it to City Hall, and we'll follow
and
up.
And you guys will get a hold of DOT?
Yeah, we'll send them an enforcement letter just like we would to a citizen. But, you know,
oh.
for everybody that's in the room, really, if, you know, as you're talking to people and people are complaining about people tagging and whatnot, I know this is hard, but you need to go out and paint it up, you know, paint it over right away. Even if it's just primer, what have you, until you get the right paint on there, you leave the tags up and it gives the people notoriety that are tagging the property.
Where is most
of
the tagging?
Yeah, there's all kinds of psychology behind it. The sooner you paint it, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And then it.
Yeah, it's like a signature.
I remember years ago somebody did that to my back fence and I just painted it and never had a problem since. So.
Where's most of the tagging going? I don't notice a lot of it.
Yeah, it seems to come and go in waves.
Oh.
I know that there's a place over on Main Street, the Elite Academy that I've heard about.
Oh, they're getting
tagged?
Gets
tagged occasionally. I know that...
Did the murals get tagged?
No.
I wonder if we get more murals put up.
Well, they tend to be, they kind of, some of them, yeah, there's the artistic aspect of it too.
But we don't have to appreciate the art,
you know, but the murals, I you know. But I've always been fascinated by that, how those typically don't get tagged.
Well, I wonder if we get more murals up on big wall spaces, we'll have less tagging.
I sure like them. I think they're mm-hmm. nice.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
That's permission, David, to stop the tagging.
I gave you all a real broad overview of a lot of the different things we're working on right now.
Okay.
And, thank you very much, sir.
I appreciate that. Anything else, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. Then we can move on to Part B here, 2017 Planning Commission Work Plan. And Director Nozaki, you have the time.
Actually, this will be fairly quick. Actually, if you want to, you can move on to more pizza. We don't need more pizza.
I might get a pizza.
It's going to be a problem.
You don't have to.
You can freeze it. You can bring it for lunch tomorrow.
Well, I'm going to need some of you to take it home.
Just so everybody know, there's a reception tomorrow night at 6:30 before the council meeting for all volunteers, planning commissioners also.
I think I said
yeah.
Implied that I would try and be there, but I won't be
there. What is the Chamber of Commerce doing there lunching tomorrow?
It's a tough time of year.
It's up 101.
That's
Regency or one of those.
I know it's in that.
I just want to make sure that was the right place because I wanted to use that on the line.
Oh, the
Chamber of Commerce. Is that
tomorrow? Yeah, at 11:30 or something like that. I usually get there at 11. Yeah, it should be a big deal tomorrow. Fire.
Oh, that's right. It's supposed to be a white elephant. That's right.
And a white elephant mm-hmm. gift exchange. Everyone should go. And Brookdale is doing lunch.
I'm caroling at Regency with a bunch of teenagers. So.
Well, you could walk over to the church and bring your song.
You can come over and carol here. But I think the older people need the elderly people.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful.
You're young, we're just younger.
I'm watching.
How's that?
So I'm not going to work off of any document or anything. Just,
okay, good.
We demand a PowerPoint.
For your work program for next year, I can't even emphasize how much work that this consultant is going to be doing on development regulations, because it's going to, I mean, if you just look at the zoning code, look at all the things that it covers parking, we're going to need to create new zoning categories. For example, the comp plan talks about, has a tourist commercial designation around the fairgrounds and around the airport, where the vision was to create more tourist-oriented type of land uses, or support more tourist-oriented land uses around the fairgrounds to support the development of that area. We don't have a zoning district right now that really implements that well at all. So we're going to be cutting across, identifying uses for new zoning districts, redefining uses for existing zoning districts. One of the items that we found out, for example, in your terms of just basic language, is some of the definitions in our zoning code are just, then we got hotels, we got motels, and then the use table, we got hotel sometime, motel sometime. The zoning code historically, I think, has just been amended over time and has become a quilt. And now the patterns don't match all that well.
Right.
So part of this is cleanup, but part of it is actually getting some novel items on creating new zoning designations. So this is going to cut, and once we get that consultant on board, I'm almost looking at a work program that carries us through the balance of the year. You don't want this to go on too long, but it also means rezoning a lot of property in the city. So there's going to need to be some public outreach, and I would fully expect a lot of people to come to some of your public hearings on redefining the zoning map and amending the zoning map.
Public?
Right, before we get there,
all you have to do is start with East Monroe.
That's true.
Quick update on East Monroe.
I'm just kidding.
Well, move City Hall to the Frylands, then all of Monroe is east.
quick update on East Monroe, that's still in the Court of Appeals. So we don't expect a resolution or decision by the Court of Appeals until next spring.
What does that mean for the city?
Right now, the city's just watching the applicant, which is the church, challenge the hearings board decision. And so for the city right now, we're just watching and seeing how that plays out.
Yeah. Smart.
Okay.
But that was an aside. A few other things, though. Before we actually get into the development regulations with the consultant, there's probably three or four things that surgically we'd like to be able to take care of. And one of them is all those permit process improvement ordinances.
Mm-hmm.
There's about three or four of them, maybe four or five now that I think of it. We're going back and forth with the attorney on, and we're going to start moving those through fairly soon. One is to shorten some of our appeal time periods, some of our notice time periods, still being consistent with state law, and still ensuring that people have an opportunity to participate in public hearings. But some of our timelines are a little out of whack with best practices over time. Our zoning code amendment and our zoning map amendment procedures are very antiquated. I mean, they're really antiquated, so we're going to clean that up and work with the city attorney on an ordinance on that. We have a couple, I've talked about this a couple times, we have a couple chapters in our zoning code that they're like drive-in theaters to me, like icons of the past. I mean, it's just practices that don't exist anymore. They've been used inconsistently over the past 10, 15 years, and one of them we don't even use anymore. And so if we're just not using one chapter anymore, but it still implies we should be using it, we need to get rid of it. So there's a couple chapters of the zoning code we're just going to go. And then the city attorney's just finished a draft of an ordinance, and a couple of us are taking a look at it, and it would allow the council to get out of quasi-judicial permit action. So, for example, a subdivision right now goes to the hearing examiner. He or she makes a recommendation to the city council, and the city council makes a final decision. It doesn't have to be that way. The hearing examiner can make the final decision. It saves a lot of time for the development community. For the most part, the council's been accepting the recommendations of the hearing examiner anyway, so it's just, it's something we'll see if the council is interested in doing this, but it basically takes them out of the quasi-judicial activities where they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to like appearance of fairness and a variety of procedural actions. And so a hearing examiner typically is trained to avoid those types of legal challenges that may come up. So we have shoreline permits, for example, that go to the city council. There's no need for the city council to be involved in shoreline permits by state law. So those decisions can be made by the hearing examiner. So it's just a it's a policy decision on the part of the council. We have an ordinance that we'll be bringing forward to them. It has to come through here first. Basically, this says the hearing examiner can make a lot of final decisions. You, as a council, don't have to. Sign code.
Bring it.
Our nightmare.
As much as there's a need for a variety of different changes in the sign code, there's an opportunity, or we've been talking about an opportunity to make some very discreet changes that hopefully will be a little more of a safe harbor for the city to pursue sign code enforcement, especially in the right way. Because over time, I've been providing you with this information about the Supreme Court decision in 2015, the Gilbert case, and some of the issues it raises about being content neutral in terms of sign. And so many jurisdictions across this country are trying to deal with that particular Supreme Court decision. And you know, our code talks about real estate signs, it talks about political signs, it talks about temporary signs. So much of our code depends on actually having to go and read the sign before we make a decision on how to enforce it. Mm-hmm. And we want to try to like get away from that. And so it won't be an overhaul of the entire sign code, but it'll be a way to kind of deal with enough of our sign code where we'll have some comfort level and do some enforcement on some of the issues that are coming up in the community. So that'll be on the plate for next year also. And that'll be separate from this overall development regulation.
When do you think we're gonna look at that?
I've been talking to the city attorney. What they're actually kind of doing right now is watching some of the other cities that are kind of out front of us to kind of get a sense of what they're doing, how they're dealing with us, and what type of public reaction they're getting. Because no one really wants to be out front in terms of amending their code, because then you're the most vulnerable to challenge. And so our city attorney, the firm, is actually watching some of these other cities. And I'm hoping over the next couple of months we'll bring something through. At least bring something forward for discussion.
So maybe early next year?
Yeah, early next year. Like I said, some of these things we want to try to get done before that consultant comes on board for the development regulation process. So I think there's a window there, kind of those first 3 months of 2017. We're hoping to like bring some of this forward. Not that you can't work on some of these items during the course of the year while the development regulation work's going on, but the sooner we can bring some of this forward, the better. And then Shannon's been working on some critical areas of ordinance updates. That'll come through also, hopefully earlier in the year rather than later. Because part of what I want to try to do is, with how much money we've set aside, I'm trying to figure out how much bang for the buck can we get out of the consultant and what's kind of left for the city to do. Permit processing procedures. For the lack of a better word, it tends to be a little more objective. I mean, you know, 10 days for notice here versus 15 days. 14-day appeal period rather than 21 days. Those are things that we can do internally as staff. Mm-hmm. What I'm hoping the consultant can focus on a little bit more is, you know, tying the comp plan to the development regulations and spend a little bit more time on that and working a lot of the definitions and making sure our definitions are nice and clean and crisp and consistent. But these permit processing, that's one of the items that we look forward to sooner rather than later. So early in the year, it's going to be maybe sign code, permit processing, critical areas. We've got the downtown code amendments, and then kind of the balance of the year is going to be the bigger picture of the entire zoning code and development regulations. So that's kind of a quick summary of where I kind of see the Planning Commission working next year. I could actually see public meetings or extra public meetings of the Planning Commission as needed. And I can actually see community meetings on new zoning code, new development regulations, zoning map changes, and items like that. But the Planning Commission may or may not. I mean, it's one of those, if you want to attend, great, if not, not a big deal. But a lot more public process next year than during the past year.
Okay.
And we will finish next year with more pizza.
Mr. Chair? Yes, and I just want to underscore one thing. Everything that Dave just went through are things that are really important to me and to the council. One thing that Dave went through that is excruciatingly important for me and the council is doing the procedures, getting those streamlined.
Permitting?
the permitting processes and procedures. There are, as an example, and I'm not certain that this is a true example, but at one point in time, we had notice requirements on a state level of like 15 days. Those sorts of things have been shrunk to like 10 days now, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth.
But ours are like business days too.
So yeah. Without getting into high detail, there are certain things that we adopted in the late 90s or early 2000s that have never been updated. That by us just, you know, making it so that rather than first reading and second reading, we just go straight with one reading, we pull out the requirement that the council approves subdivisions and PRDs. We take a look at some of those numbers, and if it doesn't need to be 15 days, let's shrink it to 10 days.
Yeah.
If it doesn't need to be advertised in the newspaper, let's not advertise it in the newspaper, because now we have social media and web and internet. So to the extent that we can make things as streamlined as possible, that sort of thing is very important to me and also to the council. And this was a conversation that we opened with about 2 years ago with the Chamber of Commerce and other stakeholders. And because of other priorities that have come up in that time, we haven't been able to get this done. So just letting you know that Council and I are very much looking forward to having that done very early in the year.
Personally, I'd like to make comment on that. I think you have a good team to do
this.
I think you have the right team to do that.
Thank you.
That's about it. It may sound real simple, but it's not going to be simple.
That's it. Okay.
It makes me tired.
All right, then with that, I'll move on to discussion by commissioners and staff. Shauna, do you have anything?
Not this
I'm
evening.
I'll start with you. Okay.
Thank you. No, not this evening.
Okay, Jennifer? Jennifer. Sorry.
No, sir, nothing for me.
I don't know, but I have Jennifer on.
It's happened before. It's a common name in the 80s.
Commissioner Fisher?
I have none.
Nothing?
No.
Commissioner Fisher?
Nothing tonight.
Commissioner Stanger?
I just want to thank everybody for a great year. So everybody on the council and staff and the mayor and Stephanie for delivering this in the snow.
It was fun driving around.
It's amazing. Yeah, right? I mean,
it's part of my fence was taken out. And then this is there. So anyway, so that's all I have.
Okay, great. Thank you. Commissioner Bolt?
Nothing for me.
Anything else? Director?
No, I'll just echo what Commissioner Stanger said. Thank you very much for all the work you've done this year. Appreciate it. Look forward to next year. Hope you can make it to the volunteer event. Is it 6:30?
6:30
tomorrow night. And that's about it. And Mayor Thomas covered a lot of what's going on right now.
Tomorrow night?
Yeah. 6:30, cake or cupcakes. Gotta figure that out from Pam. And just a thank you reception for the commissioners and board members.
I forgot about that.
Stephanie sent an email.
I know, I'm not good at email.
Commissioner Jensen?
She knows.
Well, I mean, normally you'd be asking about when is Carl's Jr. going to open, but they opened today.
They opened
so
today.
I can't have to ask anymore.
Oh, so they did?
Yeah.
That's right.
So, nothing.
Nothing else?
I'm running out of things to ask about.
Commissioner Tuttle?
Three things. One, tell Pam to call Sue for cupcakes for tomorrow night from the bakery.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk offline.
She usually has day-old cupcakes. The memorial for Jim Scott, who passed away on the school board, is on December 18th at 3:00 at the Monroe High School Commons. And then there's an event at Thrive on Sunday at 4 to 8 for the homeless. And there was one more thing. I don't remember. That's all I can think of.
That was three.
That was three? Did I say three?
Yeah.
Is that three?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
You good?
I think we have Parks Board this week.
That's it?
I think.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe. I'll call you later.
I just want to say this past year with this team, the Planning Commission, I think it made my job as chairman so easy. All I got to do is just work with the team, and the team is just, it's a great team. It's been a pleasure. Also, staff has been a pleasure to work with this past year. They've been a tremendous help. I've been here quite a while. I think this is the best year we've ever had as far as my working with the Planning Commission and with staff.
It's because of your heart.
So my thank you goes to the city and to this Planning Commission for what we've got accomplished this last year. So, thank you. With that, I don't have anything else, and I will, before we adjourn, there's a reminder at the bottom of the sheet here that we don't have a Planning Commission meeting on the phone.
Merry Christmas.
December? Okay. So then I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
So.
Moved by Commissioner Dirksen.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Jensen. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried 7-0.
Welcome to take.